Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched Mask to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
The Toy Bar is open for another week of Toy Talk, so pull up a stool, grab a drink, and listen to Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys. And now, here are your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
Hey gang, and welcome to a very special episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys. That's www.crazykingsoftoys.com. I'm Dave, and wait, who the hell are you?
I'm not Duvall.
What happened to Duvall?
I think you killed him, just as much as you tried to kill me before the show.
Those are allegations.
Stupid blaster fire.
Plaster fire. Yeah, is that what we're calling French bread pizza these days?
Well, I was making a Star Wars reference. Blasters are such inelegant weapons.
Hey, only Imperial Stormtroopers are that precise. I was like, apparently Jawas are the only things that like sit still long enough to get hit. So this is a very special episode. It's kind of an asterisk episode. Depending on how well we do, I'm not even sure if it's going to count. Duvall is sick. Which is ironic, because, I mean, like, this is probably one of the three episodes I've ever done that I'm not sick, particularly. So,
but, Dave is well and Duvall is dead.
I know. Now, see, I was debating whether or not to go with the Duvall is dead thing, because we used to milk that a lot on the other website. But he's apparently, I think he got into the movie theater popcorn again or something, because he missed his last podcast, and he's missing this one, so he's not feeling well.
Well, it's one of two things. Either the puppet came to life and killed him, or it is now divorced to the collection.
Ooh, ow.
I thought of that off air. I was like, should I use that or not? I don't know.
Oh, you should have. That's brilliant. And God knows it has almost come to that once or twice, believe me. He's not joking when he mentions that he might be crashing on my guest
room. No, I know he's not. I know he's not. Well, you know, he has said in the last couple episodes of your old show that, you know, and of Married to the Collection as well, he has said that at this point he has his Oscar, he has his Cookie Monster, he has his Big Bird, his, you know, Holy Grail of talkies is essentially done.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I don't know why he just doesn't stop at this point. I mean, if he's got everything he really, really wants, like you... No offense.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I know what I know where you're going with this. But here's the thing: is he was actually saying something like that one day, and of course Carrie just immediately comes up with, "Oh, and there will always be something else." She didn't buy it for a nanosecond. She's like, "And then next week there'll be something else," and he was like, "No, no, no, that's Dave." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's sort of Dave, but."
Well, Jason is a unique toy collector. Jason isn't like the rest of us. I mean, I myself am out of the collecting thing. I just...
Well, I'm glad we picked you for this episode, then.
Mattel just... And I'm not getting into this. I'm not going to get into this, but that's the... Like,
I've said this before. Down the time, 8:50. Mike starts talking about Mattel.
No. Hold on. I've said this before, that I... With Transformers, I love Transformers. In 2008, I had all this money coming in from the job I was working at, so I would go out and, you know, buy my childhood back, essentially. And but a couple of years ago, it just kind of got to be where I was moving so much. I moved like four different apartments within six months.
Ooh.
And moving and toy collecting don't mix at all. Well, yes, you would know. Excuse me. You would know because, you know, you have the single largest giant collection of anyone I've ever seen.
Dude, when I moved this house, it was like maybe not even a quarter of what it is now. And at the time, I had like an aunt who lived relatively nearby. So, I mean, I was literally, I mean, I moved all my own toys. Right. Like, I mean, that was like my thing. And like, I would like go to her house and put it all in her garage, you know, almost like every individual piece would like be by itself in my car seat. It was the most inefficient, you know, process you can humanly imagine, you know, because I was babying everything. So for you to like be going, oh, I moved around four times, I'm just like, my whole body just like shut. It's like, oh my God, well, I can't imagine that.
Right. And by the time I got to where I am now, I was like, you know what? I'm going to Target. I'm going to Walmart. I'm only finding crappy Revenge of the and this is 2011.
Oh, well,
crappy Revenge of the Fallen toys that no one freaking wants anymore. And I just said, out of the ones that I have gotten, the ones I did want, I would turn around 3 weeks later and sell them because I was tired of looking at them. I honestly was. I was getting sick of collecting. And then the big push for, you know, the giant bobble-headed company with, you know, the He-Mans and the She-Ravers crap. But it was one of those things where, like, I was excited. I thought that the 2012 club thing was going to work out well. I thought it was going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, tragedy hits and their entire schedule, all that crap. So, yeah. My descent into Maddie madness is what essentially kicked me from toy collecting, which I thought it was going to reignite me into toy collecting, and it didn't. That's my point here. And that's all I'm going to say about Mattel.
Yeah, and I can see that happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, all right. So what are we doing this week, Dave?
Well, see, here's the funny thing. If you were following the show last week, we sort of made a little joke. Because, you know, last week had a lot of news. I mean, it had a really big story. So we made a little joke about how there wasn't really anything to talk about. Well, there's this little thing called the Karma Credit Plan, where you buy now and you pay forever. I stole that line from a movie. And that little joke has kind of bitten us on the ass now, because not only is Jason out of it, but there's really not much to talk about as far as I can see. I mean, I sort of did the normal thing of checking out other sites and the news things, and I mean, the biggest story I saw was that it's not even toy related. Kind of is that Lucas has nominated or Kathleen Kennedy is going to take over Lucas's position at Lucasfilm, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, like because he's apparently serious about retiring, which is sort of like yay. You know, I loved you for a while there. It's time for you to go.
I loved you until you started, you know, I've said this before, you know, they're his movies, they're his vision.
Yes.
But, you know, honestly, don't screw with what you've created. If you're if you're going to upconvert it to 3D, fine. If you're going to re-release them, fine. But don't screw with key plot elements. That's my only real gripe against Lucas. You know, that's the only really gripe I have against him in the film franchise. The cartoons, I don't know how much he actually has. I know that there are a bunch of other because executive producer is such a blank job. I mean, I don't mean to say that to take away from the job, but it's such a insert job, you know.
Well, no, it's a name thing. It's like, you know, you're kind of you're a big name guy, so you're executive producer, and people go, oh, he's attached. You know, I don't think it's traditionally associated with a lot of the actual producer is the guy who does all the bus.
Right, exactly. Work. So, you know, I don't, you know, if he wants to retire, let the dude retire. I mean, his entire,
I said yes.
I mean, his entire life and legacy is American Graffiti. Ignore the sirens in the background if you can hear them. American Graffiti, THX, and Star Wars.
And it's mostly American Graffiti and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And THX is kind of an inside baseball nerd thing. That was never a big film.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
He did a lot for Indiana Jones. Yes.
He had a role in later ones too, but I'd rather not speak of that. No, my beef, and I think a lot of fans' beef, is not so much that he's mucking with the movies. It's just his refusal to acknowledge the films in their original form. If he would just release a nice, cleaned-up version on video of the films the way they were when they originally came out, I think all the bitching would end. Not all of it, but like 90% of the bitching would end. People would calm down. People would let it go, because the feeling is that he's just sort of negating, you know, he's just sort of kind of crapping on the films that we grew up and loved. And if he would just say, okay, here's an archival version of the films that you loved, and here's what I think is better, you know, I think people would let that go. Because like you said, they are his films. He is the artist. I don't think anyone begrudges him tampering with his own stuff. It's just the idea that he's somehow devaluing the things that we loved and grew up with sort of is offensive to us. Or offensive to me, I mean.
And I think the problem, you know, as much as, at least from my point of view, I, you know, especially in A New Hope, I want to know what the fuck happened in the Clone Wars. They mention it like twice in A New Hope, and I always wanted to know that story. I didn't want to know about a 10-year-old, you know, pod racing fool, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things where I wanted to know that story, but the problem I think is that with him creating the prequels, that is what made him go back and rewrite his own history or you know, muck with, you know, to make it fit as all one story.
Yeah, but I mean, the prequels were always, I mean, that's, I mean, the legend of the prequels is that there was always something mapped out. And I kind of, I mean, I believe that there was something mapped out, because when you write a story like that, especially a big saga, you know, you do come up with a backstory and you do sort of have a vague idea of what happened before. I mean, you know, you look at any big epic story. I mean, Lord of the Rings had the Silmarillion. I'm sure George R. R. Martin has backstory for, you know, the Game of Thrones world. You know, it's just, you know, you do that.
I'll tell you one thing that really shocked me, and it wasn't because of what was in the prequels, but it was because of what was in the movie theater when I went to go see Episode 1. In 99, I went to this theater to go see it. It was like, I don't know, 2 days after it opened. And as I'm walking down there, I had to do a triple take because I saw a Revenge of the Jedi, May whatever date, 1983. I was like, wait a second, no, it's not Revenge, it's Return. What the hell is this? To this day, I wish I'd grabbed that poster and ran and not ever even went in to see Episode 1, because I'd be rich right now with that poster.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised it was there, because, like, I mean, I've told the
it
story.
It probably was a reprint, honestly. It
might have been. Even a reprint, though, probably was, I mean, if it was like a quote official reprint, it probably was worth money, because when I was in college a million years ago, but long before the prequels, you know, I've told the story that there was a guy that, like, the first week I was there, there was a guy in the commons selling movie posters, and he didn't have it with him, but it was in his catalog. He had a Revenge of the Jedi poster, and it was like $300 or something, and I couldn't afford it at the time, but I thought, when he comes back, I'll save my money. And of course, you know,
Never came back.
but yeah, I knew that. I mean, that was one of those, if you grew up in the 80s, that's one of those famous stories that, you know, it was Revenge of the Jedi, and then someone explained to George, because George doesn't really understand his own movies, that Jedis don't really seek revenge. So.
The other thing was, I don't know, do you ever go on Hulu, Dave, at all?
Sometimes.
Go over there when you get the chance. Check out Spoilers with Kevin Smith. Very first episode. The series is essentially him and a bunch of people going to see a movie. This first episode, they went to see Snow White and the Huntsman. And they, you know, he talked to all these different people that were in the theater with him, whatever else. But his guest in that was Carrie Fisher.
Ah.
And she told a story that apparently Kevin had never heard of, which was that Blues Brothers was made in between Empire and Jedi.
Yeah.
And apparently John Belushi wanted to be an extra in one of the movies, and he was like, Carrie, just tell George I'll be anything. I'll do anything. So apparently John Belushi wanted to be in one of the Star Wars movies.
Well, that's how Samuel L. Jackson got the role of Mace Windu. Mm-hmm. Is he was like, I'll be a stormtrooper. You know, these guys are like, I'll do anything. You know, even famous people, you know, especially with the prequels, have grown up with Star Wars. Like, I'll be that guy in the background that you can't really see. I just want to be in Star Wars. That was a huge thing when Attack of the Clones came out. It was a couple of NSYNC people, either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. It was some boy band, and one of Lucas's daughters was a big fan, and they were big fans of Star Wars. So they got like a cameo role as Jedi in the arena scene, and fans just went like batshit crazy about it. Like, oh, I can't believe they're going to let these guys in just because they're in some popular band. And it's like, well, you know, if I were in any way, shape, or form able to get George Lucas's notice, I would do anything.
Yeah.
You know, to be in Star Wars. I can't fault them for wanting to do what I want to do and having the ability to do it. Oh my God, I would do anything. You know, I mean, I would use whatever connections I had, you know, to get that 30 seconds of screen time, that, you know, 10 seconds of screen time as green alien dude number 5. Give me a break.
Green alien dude that did not shoot first.
That did not shoot first. Well, I was thinking more of the Gamorrean guys.
I know,
that's
on
my scale, but.
God. We, over at Geekcast Radio Network, we just released our fourth GCRN Wars episode. GCRN Wars is our debate podcast where we pick two topics and we debate about them through anywhere from 10 to 20 different categories. And episode 4 was Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Oh, God.
No, it was it's 4 hours of fun. it was amazing. I'll send you the link afterwards because you gotta. I know you don't normally listen to podcasts, but you gotta listen.
I don't listen to anything. I'm bad about that. But yeah, that sounds interesting because, like, you know, and I don't get it because, like, my one of my best friends is a huge Trekker and he loves Star Wars. So it's you know, but I did notice, especially in the early days of the internet, I noticed that there was like a lot of like Trekker having attitude about Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know, because our imaginary technology is real, and it's like okay,
yeah,
and lasers can't affect the Enterprise. We have magical shields, so lasers can't hurt us. So we can beat you up.
I'm just gonna run you down the topics that we discussed here. We got the iconic ships, which is the Enterprise versus the Millennium Falcon. Vehicles and machines, the weapons. The technology, or the artificial life, the alien races, the women.
Oh, come on. The alien races are so much cooler in Star Wars. I mean, Star Trek, they're all just dudes with, you know, latex crap.
On their faces.
On their faces. Yeah. Give me a break.
Starfleet versus the Jedi. Major good characters, major bad characters, the universes, the Final Frontier versus a galaxy far, far away. The writing, the acting, the uniforms, clothing, makeup, and special effects. At least Star Wars didn't have, you know, red shirts that died every single time. Music, games, the movies themselves, the creators, so Roddenberry versus Lucas, the fandoms, and then Category 20 was the overall franchise category, and then we did the verdict and final thoughts. But no, it was pretty awesome.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I think is interesting about the way the situation is now, and one of the things that I actually kind of have against the prequels, is I think the prequels were the tipping point when Star Wars stopped being a cultural thing. You know, I mean, you know, pretty much everybody had seen Star Wars, and especially in our generation, you know, everyone loved Star Wars. You know, I mean, my mom saw Star Wars and liked Star Wars. My dad saw Star Wars and liked Star Wars. I mean, you know, it was. The prequels kind of made it that thing that people sort of dressed up in funny costumes, and it became like a Star Trek thing, like you made fun of Trekkers about. It became a nerd thing. And then the Star Trek reboot came out, and suddenly it was this hip, hot, popular movie, and suddenly it's a cultural thing. And, like, suddenly the Trekkers are all of a sudden, like, mainstream. And Star Wars guys are, you know, the geeks with glasses in their basements going, I like Ula, she makes me feel funny in the pants. You know, it's just, it's sad. It's one of the things I have a hard time forgiving the prequels about. It made us into, like, nerds.
I've said this plenty of times. I love the original trilogy. I love all three films. However, for me, out of all six, Episode 3 and Episode 6 are my favorites overall. The reason why I like Revenge of the Sith is because it doesn't just drop continuity. It sets up at the end what's going to eventually, you know, what they're going to be talking about in A New Hope. And Return of the Jedi, you know...
I like Return of the Jedi. I mean,
Dante can say it all he wants, that all it was just a bunch of fucking Muppets, but it was freaking awesome. I love Jedi.
Well, first of all, we're a very Muppet-friendly folk over here, so...
No, I know, but that was the line from Clerks, because there was an argument between Randall and Dante, and you know, Empire had the better ending, you know, Luke gets his hand cut off, find out Vader's his father, all Jedi had was a bunch of fucking Muppets. That was the line from the Clerks movie, yeah. So, oh, God. No, I don't know, Star Wars, Star Trek. I've always found myself on the Star Wars side. I grew up watching TNG, and I've, you know, seen DS9 and all that stuff, and I've seen several of the good movies. there are a lot of bad ones on.
No. I mean, that's
the bad Trek movies.
It's the classic thing that it's like even good, odd bad.
Yep.
With the classics, and I think the next gens are kind of the opposite. Although the next gens generally aren't considered particularly, it's like First Contact good, everything else bleh.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But yeah, no, it was a fun little podcast that we did. It was a fun record.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was just awesome.
By the way, I want to put this in because right now Duvall is freaking out. As it happens, I just got my notice from Big Bad Toy Store that this wave of Star Wars figures, which are toys. Are in and will be shipping to me soon. So, toys. I felt I had to put that in there because.
Toys. Yeah, we had to get back on track. Sorry.
A little twitchy when we talk about other stuff sometimes.
Mm.
So, yes.
Well, it does say toys and collectibles.
It's a debate we have. I think we can loosen up a little bit because the odds are, if you're buying action figures, you're probably watching either Star Wars or Star Trek, if not both. I think little overlap there.
And honestly, has the Trek franchise had any decent actual? I'm not talking about like Enterprises. I'm talking actual action figures. Has Trek ever had a decent line?
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of decent. I mean, the Mego toys were cool for their day. You know, they were. You know, it's a funny thing. They were actually based on the animated series, not the live action series.
Right.
It was on the thing at the time. Yeah, I like the Mego figures. If you like Migos, I've got no beef with Playmates. Stuff was a little oddly proportioned because it was during the TMNT. But they weren't that bad, and as they went along, they got, you know, a little more. Especially when they got into the movies, the proportions got a little more realistic. They did some good figures. I know that whoever took over from them did some good figures. They just had crap distribution.
Was it NECA?
No, it wasn't NECA. It was like Diamond Select or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Diamond Select, I think, before it became officially Diamond Select, it might have had a different... Because it was like Four Horsemen and Art Asylum or something like that. But they had some good figures. I mean, they've never had like the iconic hold on the toy aisle that Star Wars has. But, I mean, there's been some good toys out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go into toy stores now, and it was so different back in the 80s. But you go into a toy store now, it's Transformers, Star Wars, barely any G.I. Joe if you're in a Walmart, because Walmart hates G.I. Joe.
Okay, and where does this come from, this Walmart hates G.I. Joe? I mean, yeah, they dropped it for a little bit, and all of a sudden everyone freaked out, and they picked it back up again.
Yeah,
most of my 30th anniversary came from G.I. Joe, or came from Walmart.
So. Yeah. So you've got the three Hasbro properties, and then you've got Barbie on the other side, plus whatever else, you know, little Marvel stuff. But Marvel, again, it's essentially the toy company in toy stores now is Hasbro.
It's Hasbro.
I mean, that's real. You know, sure, you have some of the Disney Pixar stuff that Mattel does that they do for, you know, manufactured retail. You know, obviously Barbie.
Well, Mattel does the car stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Mattel does like I think they do cars, but they do cars.
Yeah,
but they do Hot Wheels. I mean, they have that aisle. That is their aisle. It's the Hot Wheels cars aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they got Batman. The Batman stuff is kind of wedging its way in there now that they're getting ready for Dark Knight. Although all that stuff looks awful. The 4-inch figures are just so bad as, I mean, Mattel should be embarrassed that they're putting out. I'm not even trying to be funny or joking. It is just garbage. I mean, it's badly sculpted. And then they just glob paint on. The Movie Masters, which was kind of their showcase thing. I'm almost convinced that the Four Horsemen are cutting their ties with Mattel, or at least have exclusively moved over to Masters, because the Movie Masters stuff, like with Alfred, it's like you can tell that they used like the Four Horsemen suit body that they used a couple times, but the head is just a real soft bad skull. Bane is just a real soft sculpt, not very well detailed. It's shockingly bad.
Yeah. You know, I don't think you guys have really talked about this too much, but repaints. It's not just Mattel. It's not just Mattel that does repaints or swap parts.
No.
Because Transformers, you know, you'll get I don't know if you ever saw it in the stores. You might have. There a while ago, about a year ago, there was a Generations toy called Dark Mount. It was a blue tank looking thing.
They did it as red, didn't they?
No, grayish silver.
Okay.
They repainted it gray and gave it a new head, and they called it Skullgren.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just all of the toy companies do repaints to obviously save on costs, but
oh no, Hasbro! I mean, you must not collect Hasbro's like Marvel movie lines, because they're real bad about they'll have like four molds and then that's it, and it'll be like, you know, Thor with sleeves, Thor with no sleeves, and then they changed the head so he's got the helmet, but it's the same body. I mean, like the Thor line literally had four molds, and then there were like five other characters that they, you know, sort of crammed in there in wave four that you couldn't find anywhere. The Iron Man ones are real bad about that too. It's just Iron Man works a little, you know, you can fake it with Iron Man a little bit better because he does have the multiple suits. But yeah, they do like four molds, and then that's what they milk. Star Wars is like the only line that they really seem to go out of their way to do original sculpts for anymore. And I know they announced with Clone Wars that like half of what they're putting out this year, well, only half will be original sculpts, and the rest will be repaint. Because Episode 3 was like a godsend for them, because it's like, you know, Clone Trooper with this color scheme, Clone Trooper with that color scheme.
Yeah.
You know, the Starfighters all have individual color schemes, you know, but you can just reuse the mold over and over. So, I was going to say with Transformers, there was they did Wreck-Gar, and then they did a Junkion that was like a variation, because I've got both of those.
Yeah, they did that. They've also done, they're doing it now. I saw it on TFW2005.com. They're taking Dark of the Moon Starscream movie toy and repainting it in Generation 1 colors.
They did that when the first film came out. There was a Target exclusive Starscream in Generation 1 colors.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always regretted not getting, so it's my second chance. Yeah, excellent.
And those masterpieces. A couple of things I've been meaning to send feedback in for you guys about them.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, and I've found this out from a buddy of mine, Optobotomus, there is no real difference from the Japan version to the U.S. version. There might be different accessories, but I believe at least I can say this, I know for a fact, in Grimlock's case and in Optimus's case. In the MP11 that just came out, or not MP11, oh god, what is it? MP10, the redesigned Optimus that just came out to fit more in line with the Rodimus as far as the sizing. It's not as big as it used to be. That is all diecast as far as I can tell. They don't just switch out the diecast for plastic. You know, whatever pieces are die-cast on the Japanese version, that's what the U.S. version gets. Now, accessories might change. I know for a fact Grimlock in Japan, I think he got the apron, and here I think he got the crown.
He got the crown, yeah. So I've got the crown.
Right. So I have been saying this since late 2008, early 2009. if I was to ever get a Masterpiece toy, I've never been able to get one because, hello, prices. I mean, and you know, Masterpiece for Transformers is the ultimate. You know, it's the gold standard that a character wants to reach, is getting into that type of thing. And I've said for years, I want a Masterpiece Soundwave with Masterpiece cassettes. Well, we know we're getting some sort of Masterpiece Soundwave. We don't know what the accessories are going to be.
They'll be cassettes, dude. I mean,
well, no, but what I'm saying is, like, we don't know if the cassettes are going to just be cassettes and then they transform. We don't know if he's going to have, you know, I know Takara Tomy does very well with the Masterpieces, and they do pay attention to a lot of detail, but let's face it, in 2012, not a lot of kids know what a tape deck is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, are the Masterpieces really being geared towards kids? Are kids dropping, you know, $130 on one toy these days?
Not much of Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I don't really think they're worried about kids not recognizing what a tape player is. I suspect that's not high on their worry list.
But yeah, no, that Masterpiece Soundwave, I can't wait to see what they churn out with that.
Yeah, well, all I'm going to say in my defense on that is I'm not a big Transformers guy. I mean,
like them.
I just want to say, like, I have a friend, you know, who is more of a Transformers guy, and I know that he was really bitching about, should I wait for the American version, which is just going to be all plastic and not have any accessories, blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, I don't know, then spend the money on the Japanese version. What do you want from me? I'm not Hasbro. But I'm just saying that's where I get my information from.
Right, right.
So, I'm wrong. I mean, we've got someone on the forums who she seems to know her Transformers, so she'll correct us. But I mean, as far as I know, they're different. But I mean, you know, if they're not, they're not. I don't know. I like Grimlock. He's a Tyrannosaur.
Oh, have you seen the Fall of Cybertron trailers?
No, I haven't.
Oh, if you love Grimlock, you gotta watch the Fall of Cybertron game trailers, because in the new game coming out in August, Fall of Cybertron, the sequel to War for Cybertron, Grimlock will be playable. He is a transforming, fire-breathing Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet. Looks so awesome. Oh, man.
Wow, okay. well, we've managed to kill 37 minutes so far. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else to talk about. It really has been a slow week, man. I haven't gotten out much. So, I don't know.
Haven't had any flea market finds or anything like that, or
no? Like the auction that we go to and we talk about a lot, like, has gone into this sort of crazy farm toy phase where it's just all tractor toys. well, I almost wonder, because like the last time I went, you know, and I told Jason this, that they were like, all of a sudden there were a lot of toy collectors there, like more than before, and they knew what they were after. And then, mm-hmm. then right after that, all of a sudden, it seemed like the auction switched to, you know, John Deere tractor toys. I almost wonder if it was like, someone was like, man, we're getting too many nerds stinking up the joint. We gotta get rid of these nerds. Quit selling the action figures. It's attracting the wrong element.
I want those droids in the South Field by morning.
Get us some John Deere toys. They ain't gonna buy into that.
Oh, man. Well, I guess I can talk about one thing. Okay. And of course, your listeners are going to actually have to go listen to this. But last Saturday, it has taken me since October.
Oh yeah.
To
hate you.
Line this up.
Hate you so much.
You would have hated me even more if it was, you know, that Ken doll from Toy Story 3.
No, I wouldn't. No. I mean, I love Keaton, but but hate you.
The ultimate of interviews for our Batman BTAS, Batman Beyond, Legends of the Dark Knight podcast on Geekcast Radio. We finally got to talk to Mr. Kevin Conroy himself.
Oh, so jealous.
And it was so awesome. It was so freaking awesome. The only one we have left to get, because we've talked to, first interview we had on that podcast was Lauren Lester, who was the voice of Dick Grayson Robin in BTAS. So that was awesome. My goal since then has been to get a certain jokester.
Yeah.
And that has failed. It's like, you know, Mr. Hamill, you know, appreciates your request. He's focusing on his next project right now, so he's not really going to have time. So it wasn't a direct no.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten a direct no before, and the one direct no, I couldn't even get my pitch out. I couldn't even ask for an email address to be able to send my pitch in. that donut-loving, Bart-smacking father. Just a straight no. So I'm still hopeful for Hamill, but, you know, we talked to Kevin Conroy, and it was just, it was so amazing. He tells, two very interesting stories. One about, bookings, about voice sessions, and one, about, his involvement in the September 11th relief.
Oh, wow.
Very, very awesome. So, yeah, I'll have to send Jason the link to put that in the post for the Toy World Order fandom.
Now, have you gotten Arlene?
Arlene Sorkin, no. Ah. I should probably look into that. I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but my girl is like a huge Harley fanatic. So.
Awesome. Oh man, we've on different occasions. One was for her general career. The other one was for taking over Arlene's shoes. We've talked to Tara Strong twice, and I plan on talking to her a third time, specifically for Batgirl, for the Legends of the Dark Knight podcast. But no, I should probably look into Arlene. I've been trying to get Andrea Romano. I would love that. Would be
oh yeah, that would be
love great. To get
for those of you who don't, you know, because this is a toy podcast. For those of you who don't know, she is the voice casting director for cartoons.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jason. This has gotten off track, but if there's no toy news, we have to talk about something.
Yeah, it's been a slow week, and hey, maybe if you weren't
this is a special episode, so it's not like it's going to affect the numbering of the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's an asterisk in the in the record books here.
Yes,
we had to get something up, and we're doing the best we can. You know, while someone sits around his house. Has drinks brought to him, gets to watch TV in his little footy pajamas. Yeah, right, you're sick. I believe it, Duvall.
Oh, God.
Sick of working, that's what you are.
Yeah, and the other thing for Geekcast Radio Network, we just passed our 3-year anniversary. And I've been podcasting since late 2008, but we started the network in June of 2009.
Congratulations.
Huh?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, it's if you would have told me in 2007 that I would have talked to everyone, almost everyone that I've talked to on our featured guest page, I would have laughed in your face.
And again, hate you. Conroy and Maurice LaMarche are the two that I would love to talk to. Hate you so much.
Rob Paulson twice, Tara Strong twice.
Paulson seems cool. Like we went down to I think it was the last time we went to Toy Man, we listened to Rob Paulson's podcast with Mark.
Yeah, his podcast is amazing.
And it was just as fascinating. Like, you know, they just talked like old buddies and had all these interesting stories. They hardly even mentioned Star Wars at all, but it was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, they mentioned it a couple of times.
Kind of in passing almost, though. Like, not really.
Well, maybe.
That was fine, though. That was cool. I mean, yeah. It was like, because there was... What made it so cool is, you know, and they made a joke about the fact that, you know, that his big film was Corvette Summer. Ha ha ha. I mean, you do really get a sense that Mark Hamill had a hell of a career. I mean, he's an actor that I think, you know, fortunately the Joker, I think, and his voiceover work has brought him back. But, you know, he's one of those actors that you dismiss as being, well, he's Luke Skywalker and that's all there is to him. Mm. You know, but he's really had a hell of a career.
Yeah, he has, and it was just amazing. But I think it's Rob Paulson's most recent episode was Bill Farmer.
Ooh.
Fucking goofy.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, And the funny thing is about Rob's podcast, Talking Toons, is that a lot of the people that he's had on, he's either worked with or is friends with. To have a circle of friends that he does, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just simply amazing. But yeah, no, we got our 3-year anniversary in the bag. We are planning on doing a live show once a month starting later this month.
Ooh,
to kind of bring it back around to toys, it's so funny. My buddy Optimus Solo and I do a review show on Mask, on the cartoon series Mask, where we review 2 to 3 episodes per podcast. And we got an iTunes review of super critical host, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to stop listening to this podcast so my enjoyment of the toys stays intact. And I'm thinking, first of all, how is listening to a podcast about that reviews the cartoon episodes from an adult's perspective? Because I hadn't seen, because we got to remember, until last year, we had never had a U.S. DVD release of Mask ever until Shout Factory released it. So I have not seen Mask since I was a kid. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I have never actually gone through it. Like, you know, Thundercats DVDs came out a number of years ago, obviously.
And they were on Cartoon Network for a while.
Right,
too.
Right. So I hadn't seen Mask in a while, and it's like I'm coming into this fresh. So yeah. I'm sitting there reading this review, and I'm like, how is us reviewing the cartoon going to ruin your enjoyment of your toys? First of all, I had never said I love the Mask toys. I was one of the only kids in my neighborhood that had Boulder Hill. Everyone was jealous of me because I had friggin' Boulder Hill. No one had that. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we've come so far in 3 years of podcasting. I would have to go back and redo all the math, but I think I've done over 1,000 podcast episodes, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know. I've done a lot of stuff. It's long, long legacy in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, that's cool, man.
So, before we kind of go over to fan questions, I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Is there a specific Star Wars toy in your collection that was your holy grail or is the toy that you put above every other Star Wars toy?
Yes.
What is it?
There was one that was definitely a grail piece, and it's the Imperial Shuttle.
Okay.
Vintage Imperial Shuttle. That was a toy that I did not have as a kid, and I always wanted it. I love... My two favorite designs from Star Wars are the Falcon and the Imperial Shuttle, and they're so different because, you know, the Falcon is sort of messy and organic and misshapen, and the shuttle is so elegant and, you know, just symmetrical, and the wings come up and I love it. And when I first started collecting, I mean, when I first sort of crossed that line, the toy I wanted was the Imperial Shuttle. And this is before Power of the Force 2, even. You know, this is... I was going after vintage, and I could not find one for the life of me. And I was... You know, this is back... This is pre-internet. So I'm, like, you know, looking at, like, stores and... You know, like, you would get, like, not even Toy Fair, but, like, the precursors to Toy Fair, like, I think Lee's and Tomart's. And, right. You know, you'd look at the ads in those and, like, you know, call the numbers in the ads and say, do you have this? And it took me the better part of a year to track one down. And, like, right when I did, they, you know, announced Power of the Force 2. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder if they'll do an Imperial Shuttle. And it took them like, 5 or 6 years to get around to it. But I have that one, too. And that one I never opened. That's one of the few toys, like, I just – because the box is so cool. It was a really cool box with, like, you know, the shuttle and, like, all the Imperial troops lined up. And so the Imperial Shuttle was definitely – when I first started collecting, that was my big holy grail piece that took me forever to find and get. So.
Very awesome.
Do you have a grail piece from Star Wars or?
Well, not Star Wars, because I never really was a Star Wars collector. I would say that it's not really a grail piece, but something I always wanted to own. And it's sad because it took Samuel L. Jackson and the prequels to get this. I want a purple lightsaber, damn it.
You mean like a masterpiece one or just like a, I mean, cheap
reprint? Any version of it, as long as it lights up and it makes the sound, I don't care.
That's cool.
As far as other ones, I would have to say in Transformers specifically as a kid. As a kid, I remember, and my mom swears to me that I had an Optimus Prime. I don't ever remember having Optimus. I remember my friends having Optimus. I had a Power Master Optimus, but I don't ever remember having the 1984 G1 Optimus.
Well, here's the thing about parents is, like, I know with my mom, like, I would want to buy, like, Bespin Luke or Hoth Luke, and she'd be like, but you have a Luke already. It's like, but Mom, that's Tatooine Luke. This is Bespin Luke. So I think, you know, with moms, it's like if you've got one of those characters, it's like, you know, but you've got that already.
Right, yeah. But for me as a kid, in from 84 to 86, I always wanted Soundwave.
Oh, yeah.
I had Blaster. My best friend had Soundwave. Fucker would never let me borrow it. I tried to find so many different ways to steal that Soundwave from him, it's not even funny. Oh, man. But, yeah. So, yeah, that would probably be mine. Today, I don't know if there's anything today that would really be a holy grail. Like, I must have it no matter what, even though I'm kind of out of the toy collecting thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier about repaints. And... Or I don't mind the repaints because they're so easy to do and you don't need a there are a few different head molds, but you don't really need a different head. And I think it's why I got into them so much when I was collecting. Mighty Mugs.
Oh, yeah.
Take a blank Mighty Mug and paint it up to be anything. I mean, you could take it to, you know, paint it up to look like He-Man or Skeletor. But, you know, obviously Hasbro can't do that. But, like, all those, like, I had, I think, 40, 50, maybe 60 Mighty Mugs. I had almost everything. I think I was missing, like, maybe 20 of them.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so, yeah, those were kind of my thing where it was like, ooh, Mighty Mugs. I don't have to do anything with them. I can just, you know, pose their hands whichever way. I don't have to worry about transforming them and everything else. Because that's part of the problem with some of the Transformers is with me is when Animated was out, the Animated line, I got a Blur because Blur and Animated was awesome. His joints were so stiff, his leg popped off in my hand as I was transforming him.
Well, now they say that they're designed to do that. You know, there's a little thing on the package that says, don't panic. Problem is, like, once it pops off, it's always loose after that.
Right. Yeah. But no, that's pretty much all I got for this week, I think.
Okay. All right, well then, let's segue into the old fan questions.
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Okay, fan questions. Our first, so, like, apparently we didn't get any on, because he didn't put out a feeler on Twitter, so... These are just the ones that we have on the forums. We got a couple. Okay. First comes from Golden Vixie, who is sort of our resident Transformer expert. So we really appreciate that. She says, hey, guys, love the shows. Keep up the wonderful work. Quick question. How much of an impact will things like Shapeways, marker bots, et cetera, have on the future of toys collectibles? I assume those are like the third-party Transformer things.
I honestly have no idea. I'm going to have to look it up.
Ooh, yeah. See, I assume those were the third-party ones.
What are they called?
Shapeways or marker bots.
Let's see. Shapeways. 3D printing, make your ideas real. Oh, okay.
Oh.
It looks like it's...
Oh, like you can make your own toys.
Yeah, like 3D model kind of. Oh, this link. It looks like it's a, you know, 3D printing kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's super cool. I mean, if it becomes a little, more mainstream, I don't know how much it costs, but yeah, it could have a big effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that that's always been one of the things, like, if I could, like, sculpt, I would just make my own damn toys, you know? I mean, at this point, seriously, man, screw. If I had skills, yeah, I wouldn't even bother. I mean, maybe buy stuff for, like, Buck bodies and stuff, but, you know, if I could paint and sculpt, I wouldn't, you know, if I could do what some of these guys do with their customs, I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah. I don't know, that it could be something that sparks a new market of toy collecting, but I don't think that's going to affect the current market.
No. And at the end of the day, you know, people want they want the actual thing, you know. I mean, that's,
they want their plastic crack.
No, but they want Hasbro G.I. Joe, you know. I remember when Beanie Babies were a thing, and my mom was slightly interested in them, and they had, like, this big bin of knockoff Beanie Babies, because you knew you couldn't find them anywhere because they sold out. And they had a big bin of knockoff ones at you know, Walmart, and I said, hey, you can just get these, and she was like, but those aren't Beanie Babies, you know. And she's like, what if they made a toy that was, you know, Star Wars, and it was exactly like Star Wars, but it wasn't Hasbro? And I was like, well, if it's exactly like Star Wars and it's not Hasbro, that would be wonderful. Because then maybe they'd end up in stores. you know, but I do understand that there's a difference between, especially with, like, G.I. Joe, there are so many, like, knockoff military, you know, toy lines. And G.I. Joe fans love those, and they collect those, but it's, at the end of the day, it's not G.I. Joe. You know, at the end of the day, you can make your own toys, but they're not Transformers. They're not, you know, whatever the toy line is that you love. I think collectors are still always going to buy, you know, the real thing. Whether or not they add to it with these, you know, make their own or third party or whatever. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think the appeal of the actual toy being the official actual toy is always going to be there for collectors, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. Horatio says, a month or two back, Scott Knightlick said on the Roast Google podcast that the thing that would end Masters of the Universe line would be the price, that eventually it would cost more to produce than people were willing to pay, which was before the, quote, dramatic price raise announcement. I didn't collect the line, but I can see this happening to action figures. I don't collect that line, but can you see this happening to action figures in general? In brick-and-mortar stores, prices are rising, shelf space is shrinking. How far off is the day when action figures are either a thing of the past or online only? Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, let me address the Masters thing specifically. I've done the math on this. Whatever they increase the general regular 6-inch figures to, whether they increase it from $20 to $25 to $30, what people are not count, like, most of the Masters fans are like, oh, I don't care what price it is, I'll buy anything because I love the line. They're not factoring in, number one, if you live in a state that charges additional state sales tax, not the federal tax, but the I know California charges extra tax. They're not counting in that price, and they're not counting in shipping. And I did the math on this. If they increase to, say, $25,
it'll be more than that. It's like already 23, isn't it?
Well, for cherry pickers, it's 22.
All right.
But what I'm saying is, say they increase to $25 for the USPS standard shipping. Is $870 on MattyCollector.com. So $25 plus $870, that's like $33.70 for a 6-inch figure. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. No, and it's going to be more than that. I mean, it's not. They're saying dramatic, so I mean, it's not just going to be $5.
As far as the rest of his question for toys actually in stores, I haven't been to, like, I was at Walmart today, but I didn't go into the toy aisle because just generally try to stay away from it now. But the last time I was in Walmart, Transformers specifically, because that's what I know about, depending on the size class, they range from like $7 to $20. And that's not that bad. I mean, you know, you have like Deluxe, Voyager, and Leader class figures. So that's three different size classes. Voyagers are usually around $14-15. $17-18. Deluxes are like $14-15. So that's not that bad. I don't know. I mean, everything is going to, you know, all prices on everything are going up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, milk is close to, you know, $6 a gallon. You know, I mean, so everything is going to go up. Is it going to cause stores to no longer have toys? No, because there's a demand there for parents and children.
Yeah. You know, the Star Wars, the 4-inch action figure from Hasbro is about $10, which is high.
Mm.
And they're cutting back on articulation and paint apps. Like, you can really see it. The Retaliation figures, the figures themselves aren't terrible. Like, most of them aren't terrible because there's been a lot of griping. But the accessories are awful. I mean, they're like old Playmates Star Trek accessories where they're just like some bad, ugly, solid color. There is like some of the figures like clearly are missing paint apps. Like, you can just tell they look a little clunky. You know, my thing has been for a long time now that I think action figures are going the way of the dinosaur. I mean, they're just, you know, the big toy, the big thing at Toys R Us is Skylander, which is a video game thing. Yeah. You know, I have a friend who's got a kid who's like 9 years old, and every time I'm over there, he's on the handheld. You know, I mean, he's got bins of action figures, but he never plays with them. It's always the video games. That's just, I think that's the way that it's, you know, that's the way that it's moving. And action figures are going to be one of those quaint relics that, you know, already there's like an aisle at Toys R Us that's the collector aisle. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be stuff for collectors like you and me. I mean, I've heard that Avengers is actually selling really well. That friend I just mentioned, his wife works at Toys R Us, and she said the two best sellers are Avengers and Skylander. But I think as a general rule, the time when you play with toys versus moving up the games is becoming smaller, you know. And I think it's one of those relic kind of things. And I you know, coupled with the prices, I think it's gonna be, you know, he mentions the online thing. It's interesting because Hasbro tried the online thing with G.I. Joe and it didn't work. And I think Mattel's having all kinds of problems with their online experiment. So I don't know. I actually think it might end up being a thing that it's a specialty store thing. It's a you know, like a special aisle at Toys R Us kind of thing. But I do think the sun is setting on, I think the 80s were the golden age of it. And, you know, another 10 years, I don't know.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that, I could be wrong on this, and parents, you can correct me, but not all, but a good number of percentage of children in the United States have no imagination unless they're playing a video game.
No.
Unless they're interacting with something that they see on a screen. You know, as a kid, I was able to create all kinds of adventures with my Castle Grayskull and He-Man toys and Transformer toys and Mask toys, and sadly...
Oh, I got lectures. Hey, not even toys. I got lectures about how, like, the desk in the living room was not a base, you know. the furniture was furniture. It was not something, you know, it was not a mountain to be climbed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, but kids, they don't have that because there is all this technology.
Yeah. Because it's handed to them.
Yeah, because they would rather play, you know, Pokemon, black or white, you know, or whatever, than actually have an action figure and you know, or, you know, Crash. I love lines for kids. I love lines that are kid, you know, marketed for kids that are like, you know, Crash Test Dummies or a ripoff of Crash Test Dummies where it says, "Hey, kids, you can smash them together and build them back up," or, you know, whatever else, because that way it allows kids to be destructive without actually breaking a toy.
Yeah. Well, I think Legos are always going to be popular.
Yeah.
You know, my girl's son is 13 and he still loves Legos.
Deal with Star Wars, so yeah, they'll always be popular.
So, but yeah, I think there just is this move away from what we consider to be an action figure line. I think that concept, there'll always be toys, you know.
Yeah.
Kids will always have stuff to play with. I just think that the toys that the kind of toy lines that we grew up with, that concept I think is becoming out of date.
Yeah.
And will become a specialty item.
I agree.
You know, and that's just the way of the world, man. I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, the people before us grew up with records. That I mean, the 60s, it was about music, you know, and they're all about the vinyl and the sound of vinyl. And, you know, it's getting to the point now where it's like, what's a CD? I'm like, oh, God, how old am I? You know? So it's just it happens to every generation. It'll happen to this generation. There'll be something else that their stuff seems antiquated and outdated and just happens. All right. Our next question is from A. Das Baron, and he says, don't know why I haven't thought of this before. Have either of you cosplayed at cons before?
I'm too old and fat to do that.
Oh, you stole my answer. my girl loves to do it. She's been Harley at C2E2 twice, and she was a Baroness this last year. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, nah, I'm too old and too fat. I mean, I guess if I could put together a really good Gamorrean guard outfit, and I actually looked for a mask online, and they don't have them. They don't have good Gamorrean guard masks. But you know, other than that, or Porkins maybe. But yeah, I've never done it.
I'm sure Jason would do it if he could dress and drag and do the hula.
No,
that's a bad Lion King joke.
Yeah, I actually. He probably would do it as Timon doing the hula thing. Okay, we got one more question from Bo Spear, who specifically addresses it to me, but says, Dave, considering the amazing Burton Batman Hot Toys figures have been so far, how amazing the Burton Batman Hot Toys figures have been so far, is that it for you, or are you going to get the Batman Returns figures when they come out later this year? I might consider the Penguin. Depends on the outfit. So maybe. I don't really like the Catwoman from that movie.
It was better than the 2004 version.
Well, yeah. Well, I wouldn't get that one either. I'm not into PVC and the stitches and. I like goth chicks, but I think she went, like, way too...
Yeah.
She was more corpse than goth, which was... I wasn't into it. If the Penguin was in his sort of... That like, the one from the posters where he's in his full mayoral tuxedo look...
Yeah, yeah.
That might be a cool figure. If it's just him in, like, his underwear at the end when he's, like, spewing bile, I don't think I'd be down with that.
No, no. If I could, you know, if I had the money to be able to afford Hot Toys. No. I'm not knocking it at all. I'm not. I'm just saying that if I were able to afford them, you know, that Batman, that Joker, and that Batmobile is just amazing. I think the only other one I would love from that line, simply to go along with the Joker, is a Bob the Goon.
Ooh, that'd be cool. That would be cool. No, that would be cool.
As far as other Batman movies, like Batman Returns, I agree with you, Dave. There really isn't anything. Maybe the Penguin in the tuxedo garb.
Yeah.
But honestly, for me, if they were ever to do this, I don't know if they are have any plans to do this. Riddler and Two-Face from Forever, because regardless of what people say about that movie, I love that movie.
Good for
and it
you.
Wouldn't hurt to have a Nicole Kidman Chase Meridian either.
That would actually be a nice one.
Yes. And then the only thing I would ever want from Batman and Robin, if they ever did one, would be Batgirl. Because, hello, Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. I just, you know, I actually talked to Jason about this. Because I love Heart of Ice. Like, love, love, love.
Oh, the BTAS episode, yeah.
Love Heart of Ice. And, like, just Batman and Robin took that story and squatted over it and just took a massive dump on it.
Yeah.
And I will never forgive them for that, because it just, that thing kills me every time it's on. And yeah, it's like, we cast Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like, no! Why? It's like, you took this beautiful, epic, heartbreaking thing and made it, ice to see you. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age! It's like, oh, why? I mean, you go from, you know, wherever you are, I hope that the sun is warm on your cheek and the grass is green beneath your feet, to what killed the dinosaurs? Like, you people have no fucking souls. I can't even remember the guy's name. What was the director's name for the last two films? I hate him.
Joel Schumacher.
I hope you rot in hell. I hope wherever you go, I hope wherever you go, the sun is not warm on your cheek and the grass is not green beneath your feet. That's because that was just, that's so beautiful. That's just such a, just, that episode is so gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tragic way that they took Mr. Freeze in the cartoon series, though.
Yeah, but he had kind of a cool final thing too in Batman Beyond.
Like, yeah, he did.
He got, like, didn't he get some measure? He got some measure of redemption on that, didn't he?
He did.
He
yes.
fought like Blight and.
Yeah, Blight. Yeah. God.
So that's it. That's because we didn't seem to get any Twitter ones, and I don't know. Jason always has like a private stash of them on his phone, and
yeah. Jason's a phone junkie.
He is, man. He got that phone, and it's just been all about the twiddling and the.
It's a good marketing tool, because I use it all the time.
I hate it. Hate it. I'm a writer, so it's like, you know, you get like two words in a sentence, you're out of characters. What?
You can't limit me 140 characters, my ass.
You can't even express a thought. It's like you just start to speak, and it's like, you're out of character. And it's like, I don't want to be one of those, I can't use the word because I'll get yelled at, one of those individuals who uses like you for YOU or the number two for, you know, TW, you know, the leet speak crowd.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's painful to me that I have to talk like a moron to express a thought. I can't stand it.
Like I said, it's a good promotional tool if you're doing promotion, like for me and my little podcasting network. It's a good promotional tool for that. You know, and if you just want to put up like Jason does every now and then, a quick picture and a quick look what I got thing, you know, it's cool for that. But yeah, you know, I see where you're coming from. Sadly, we're in a day and age of where leet speak is actually a real language.
I know. It's sad. Well, I appreciate you filling in at the last minute.
No problem.
I'm sure what's left of Jason appreciates it too. gotta lay off that movie theater popcorn, dude. It's just killing you. I don't know what the hell is wrong with him. And that brings us to the end of a very special episode for Dave and Duvall Toys and Collectibles. And once again, that is brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys, www.crazykingoftoys.com. I know they had a big sale in May. I don't know if they have one in June. The guy who has that information is diseased at the moment. So, and you can always check out our friend Mike at Geekcast Network. You want to give them the plug?
Yes, of course. Geekcast Radio Network.
Geekcast Radio.
Geekcast Radio Network. You can find us at www.geekcastradio.com. We're also on Facebook. There's multiple podcast accounts on Twitter. I'm just anal like that, where I have to create an account for every single podcast we've done. So yeah, we do a lot of great podcasts. We have two slogans. We always say "Unleash the Geek in You," and I've often said that we have a podcast for almost anyone. Any kind of geeky topic you're interested in, whether it's cartoon reviews, whether it's movie reviews, toy reviews, we've got it. Come listen.
All right, and as always, we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got actually like a lot of reviews popping up on Toy World Order. I finally did one.
Yay!
Jason cracked the whip on me. He's like, I need this by the end of the day, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I got one up. I'm gonna try to get some more up. Flynn apparently is cranking them out over in the on the West Coast. Yeah. They're cranking out the Dragon Ball Z figures to make up for the loss of Effin. Every week, health permitting, we're doing this podcast, and hopefully Jason will be feeling well enough to lock horns with the missus and bring another episode of Married to the Collection. Married to the Collection, David Duvall's, Effin's dead. So I think that's it for the plugs. That's it for the webcast.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
And as we always say at the end of every episode,
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
That's right, gang. Toy Bar is closed. See you next week, peeps.
Harshness.